All right. I'm going to give you a few announcements. Some of them are in your bulletin, and then we're going to pray for some local ministries. I release you to celebrate, to connect. That's awesome. Now I'm going to ask you to conform again. No. Well, some of you are listening. Amen. So, yeah, exactly. Amen. Awesome. Well, we're glad you're here this morning. Thank you, Dean. It is our heart to just keep us in the awareness that there is so much more to our life in Christ than Sunday service, than sitting in a pew and admiring the beautiful hairdo in front of you. There really is. It's, you know, if yeah, yeah, anytime. We are called to so much more. And so I'm an advocate for that. I know Pastor Mike is, our leadership team is. And so there are things going on around here that are opportunities for us to be involved beyond just Sunday services, to get equipped, to be encouraged, to find resources and relationships that are meant to make the kingdom of heaven evident wherever we go. Amen? So with that, a few announcements. The Rock, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Rock Ministry down in North Lewiston. Amen. They are in need of some volunteers, especially with the snow out and the reality of displaced individuals, homelessness, poverty. It's present, and the church is called to address it. And Jesus came for the poor. He came for the hungry. He came for the sick, and he came to be their healer. And so by our presence, in ministries like The Rock, we can make a difference by simply being available, by being servants who can wash feet, literally and spiritually. And so The Rock is a local ministry. They have a day center and a night warming shelter. There's information in your bulletin. Karen Kessler would love to know if you're available. If you've never done anything like this, what a great opportunity to discover Jesus in a new way. Because when we step out and we do something we've never done before, how many of you know you're going to see something you've never seen before? And it's a beautiful thing. And so don't let fear or lack of experience or your knowledge or lack of knowledge keep you from stepping out and doing new things. The other thing is we have a clothes closet here, and we have people that come up all week that take boxes of food and go through the clothes closet. It's a great ministry that is here on campus. If you're not aware of it, you can come check it out. Drop off clothes. We're specifically looking for men's clothing during this time of year. The winter clothing for men is important. But then as we hit spring and the weather changes, hopefully here very soon, we just need clothes. And so if you're spring cleaning already or planning on spring cleaning and those things don't fit you, we'll find a place for them and you can bring them here. You can find Deanna in the office and the volunteers that help us out all week. Again, that information's in your bulletin. Save the date, March 17th. This is not in your bulletin, but what is in your bulletin is on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, we're going to celebrate and just do a food and potluck, although it's not a potluck. We're serving dinner, aren't we, Eva? Corned beef and cabbage, amen. So for all you Irish, come and join us. But the other thing that's not in your bulletin on that day, March 17th, that's the third Sunday of the month. And one of the things that we've been doing with Sunday night and Sunday mornings, on the third Sunday of the month, we're just focusing on prayer, worship, and communion. It was a little different last Sunday. We've moved communion to this Sunday, but next month we'll be doing, on March 17th, an all-day worship prayer day. So it'll start at 8 a.m. in the morning, and it'll go till 8 p.m. with the closing of our Sunday night service, and then obviously we'll have Sunday morning service at 10:30 and Sunday night at 6 p.m. But we're just going to dedicate the whole day to prayer, and we just call them prayer watches, where there'll be an opportunity for you to come in. We'll have people assigned to pray and lead. But if you've never been part of a prayer watch, it's an awesome opportunity just to come and sit with the Lord. There's an intercessor that's assigned to that hour, and then there's a worship leader that's assigned to that hour. And in Revelation 5, we see where John is talking about how night and day there was worship and prayer going on before the Lord. And we're just going to start to take these next few seasons, these next few months, and just instill that into the body as we continue to move forward in bringing Hope and Valley into a single expression of the kingdom of God. And we just believe it should be built on prayer. And we believe that with a house that is dedicated to prayer, there's nothing that can stop us. And so we'll give you more information about that. But the beauty is that after service on that 17th, we'll all fellowship and add food to the nature of prayer, because as we feast on the Word of God, feast on His presence, we're going to feast on food and the fellowship. Amen? Amen. So this week, we've been praying for Pastor David and Phyllis King of Riverside Assembly of God in Orofino, and our missionaries, Henry and Yvonne Smith. I think there was a slide up for that. And so we're just going to announce them in prayer this morning as we take our offering and bless them and what God is doing in them and through them. And so I want to invite the ushers to come on forward and get your offering ready as we just bow our hearts in prayer. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the work that we're seeing done here in the local church, but we thank you that we're part of something far bigger in the church. And that, Lord, we would ask that the things that we consider to be important that you don't consider important, you'd change our mindset. And the things that you do consider important that we haven't taken more seriously would be shifted. And I believe one of those areas is this nature of prayer and the expression of prayer and the faith that is activated in prayer and the movement of the kingdom of God when we intercede and when we pray. And we just come before you this morning and we bless this house. We pray for the word of God to penetrate our hearts this morning. We pray for the beauty of communion to awaken us. We pray for our offering, Lord, that it be used to multiply and cause the gospel to go forth in the name of Jesus from this ground to the ends of the earth. We pray for our local ministries, the local partnerships that we have with the Rock and the Clothes Closet, our missionaries overseas, the Kings that are up the Clearwater River there in Orofino doing a good work in the name of Jesus. We just pray and ask that the evidence of your name would resound in the ministry. The evidence of your name that has been planted in us and abides in us would begin to transform us and move through us in the name of Jesus. And we pray that, again, in the presence of your name this morning, that we would never be the same, that we would not settle for going back or even be content with where we've been or what we know, but that we'd be provoked this morning in the name of Jesus to see things we've never seen because we're willing to do things we've never done. And so we bless you in the name of Jesus and we thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Thank you, ushers. They're going to pass those baskets around. Why don't you grab your Bibles and put your hands together and welcome Pastor Mike this morning.
Come here, Dean. Come on, give us an announcement. Everybody welcome Dean up. He's got an announcement
thank
to tell
you,
us.
Everybody.
Talk right close to me.
As God loves you, love one another. And he always be in you guys' heart.
Can we say amen to that? Amen. Thanks, Dean. I tell you what, it was good to be home. We went to Vegas last Sunday. We left after church, and primarily the weather was good, except that it snowed in Vegas every day we were there. And people said, well, you brought it with you and I brought it back. If I wish I had that much power. And if I had that power, I'd rather have some kind of different power. You know, maybe know what the lotto numbers are. Maybe that would be a good power. I don't know. But anyways, hey, thanks for the prayers. We had a great time with our family, Amy, Jesse, and the boys. And we celebrated Noah's birthday. So he asked if we could come up for his birthday. We were a little bit late. But that's why we went out in November. It's just family's important, right? And church family is important. Hey, don't think that, hey, if I don't show, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. It's always a big deal because we're family. And we're learning how to love, right? So, Elizabeth, I didn't put the lamp up this time because last time she was watching the whole service, she was like this. I didn't realize the light was blinding. So we're going to put that aside for today so we don't kill everybody. Hey, this morning, I just want to share some practical stuff. It's a continuation of last week. If you remember, we're talking about the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. And what that means is that our faith looks like something. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, like a lawyer, amazing what he did. He evidences of, if I could speak in the tongues of any language, but I don't have love, it's like a gong. And then he went on to say this, if I could understand all mysteries, and if I had all knowledge, and I could prophesy, but I don't have love, I've gained nothing. Think about that for a moment. Think about an individual who is able to understand every mystery that our world presents, and they could give an answer to it. Think about having the knowledge, and a knowledge that is beyond anybody else's comprehension, and you could articulate it because you could speak in their language. That person would be a high priority person in the world. And then he said, if I have the gift to move a mountain of faith, think about this. Think that if you can go into a country that's suffering from drought and you could say, stop, I want the rain to come, and immediately rain began to fall on drought-ridden countries and they begin to produce and harvest. Paul's argument was this: without love, I get nothing. I am nothing. Why? Because all these things are temporary. They're needed for now, but they're temporary. Prophecy is temporary. Knowledge is temporary. Communication is temporary. And when Paul says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. You know, do you realize that if you're a 40-year-old person and still talk like a baby, there's something wrong with you? In fact, I hate baby talk. I hate it. So around me, please don't go, ookie, pookie, wookie, is that my little schnookie? When you talk about your wife or husband or friend, aren't they just a cookie, scrumptiliumptious? Stop it. Talk like an adult. But Paul gives this idea of temporary. But the temporary is necessary right now to teach us the eternal. So we need prophecy. We need knowledge. We need tongue. We need these things because the temporary is teaching us the eternal. That's why, as we talked about last week in John chapter 16, verse 11, money is, we need money today. We need it today, but money is temporary. How we deal with money, Jesus said in Luke 16, 11, if we don't handle money with integrity, in essence, how God teaches us to handle money, how can we be trusted with the important things, the eternal things, the spiritual things? So understand, these temporary things are needed as God is teaching us eternal things. Our relationships will never last like this. We're never going to have a situation where we're in heaven where we go, hey man, I don't understand. Why did you say that? You hurt my feelings. But God teaches us now, the temporary, how to live out the eternal. Because Paul said in the verse 13 of 1 Corinthians, he says, and now three things remain, faith, hope, and love. Now eternity is expressed through our heart. And what's eternal? Faith, hope, and love. Those are eternal things. So you can understand this. Listen to me closely. Whatever is going on in your life, God is going to be developing eternal things in you. So when you reconcile a relationship, you're not just mending a bridge, you're doing eternal things. Faith, hope, and love. So we have been on the study of Galatians 5, verse 6, that all that matters is faith getting us to this point where we're loving as God defines loves. Not how I define it, not how you define it, not our society defines it. God defines love. So this morning, we're going to be dealing in some practical ways of what is keeping us from love. And this morning, it's going to be more of, let me just get into it. In fact, let me start my timer because I am wanting to have less time and more content. You're welcome. The number one commandment that God deals with in his word is this. He deals with this, fear. God speaks over and over and over and over and over again, don't fear, don't be afraid, fear not, over and over again. The number one thing he addresses for us to watch out for is fear. Now, if God says something, it must have a reason for it. Fear is the major entity that would keep us from being present in love. So when we talk about faith, hope, and love, we're talking not about just this ethereal, I feel good, I've got this faith, I've got this love, I got this hope, that has no practical application. It is so practical to our everyday living because fear is one of the major components that keeps us from staying present in love. Now, it's interesting to note that fear is actually hardwired into our brain. That right now, all the time, your brain's got two things that are going on right constantly, no matter what situation. Number one, when you walk into a situation, is it safe or is it dangerous? So if you're a guest to our church, one of the things your brain was doing without even knowing it was this. Is this a safe church or is this a dangerous church? When you come into a situation that's brand new or a situation that can cause fear, your brain is constantly evaluating, is it safe or is it dangerous? Now, our interpretation of what is safe and what is dangerous strongly goes against our past experiences. That if I come into a situation that is similar to a negative place I've been before, my brain is automatically going to say, danger, Will Robinson, danger, right? Because I have experienced this before, And now here I go, I'm stepping into it again, and my mind automatically is going to say, be afraid, be on your guard, watch out, don't get too close, be careful. That God has made us that way. Where we get into trouble is when fear overrides the present moment. That we are coming into a situation already afraid instead of coming into it with an openness of heart to see what God wants to do. Now, this is, fear is an obstacle to love when we're conditioned into a fearful response. Where we come into a situation that's not dangerous, but we perceive it as dangerous. So let me give you an example, and I'm stealing this from Bob Goff. It was awesome. I'm gonna borrow something from him. But Darren, if you could show the picture, if you will. I want your first response. Don't think about it. Don't. I just want your first initial response. Go ahead and show the first picture. Are you in the ocean and you see these fins coming at you? Here's the question. Are they sharks or are they dolphins? How many say those are sharks? Raise your hand. How many say they're dolphins? Okay. Shark or dolphins? When I see fins like that, those are sharks. They have come to eat me. They didn't come to be like, Flipper, there goes Flipper. They didn't come to play. Those things are sharks. And how do I know that I see shark fins when I see sharks? Because when I was a young man, I was taken to the movie Jaws. I remember it. It was in July. I got all my work done in the house. I go to the movie. It was a hot day. True story. I go see the movie, and has anybody seen the first Jaws where that girl goes swimming and she goes, and I go, first I'm just like, la, 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 right? Okay, go see the movie, all the kunk, 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 all that going on, da, dun, 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 right? Okay, I come home at night, I jump in the pool, and it's nighttime, and I swear there are pool sharks. I promise you, I'm about water level, and I had this, dun-dun, and I had to get out of the pool because I know there's a shark in that pool. Now, is there a shark in the pool? No. I know there are freshwater sharks that live in the Snake River. Haven't been discovered yet, but I know because I've seen Shark Week. I know, man, that one day it's going to come up, you know, and I'm going to be water skiing, and that fin is going to be, and it might actually look like, see, when we have these things where we interpret life through fear, then we're not in the moment, we're interpreting it through past experiences. Darren, show the other picture. Here's really what it is. Fear says, I'm in trouble. Fear says, this is scary. But we don't have any other evidence that it's scary except from our past experiences that we bring into the moment. And now faith working itself through love. Now we're not staying present in the moment in love. Now we are interpreting events through past experiences of fear. So all you shark people, you're my peeps. All you dolphin people, you're stupid. Jump in the ocean. We'll see who wins, right? I'm joking. Now, just a second, Dean, let me finish. I'll talk with you, my friend. Thank you. Let me give you a personal example that's real. My father made a very good living. He was a contractor, built homes. You don't have it up here, but they would have lathing. They would lath homes, which is chicken wire, and they put stucco on. Had a great business going on. So I grew up in a pretty upper middle class home. It was nice. It was a nice living. We had a pool. It was a nice living as a kid. Everything we wanted, we needed was great. As we got older, my dad, who made such a good living, was one of the most generous people in the church. I recall one time, I'm about 10 years old, and the youth pastor's wife is a waitress at a place called Mr. Steak. He was going to school, finishing his master's degree. He was a youth pastor. She needed to work to help pay for it. And my dad, in his generosity, gave her like a $20 tip, which in the 70s was, I'm pretty good today, but in the 70s, that was a big deal. She started crying and gave him a hug. She goes, you don't know how much that means to me because we needed the money. And he had no idea, but he was just generous. My dad gave all the time. But as we got older and he got older, his health went south. And my dad and my mom lost their business, lost their home, lost their health. And except for some generosity of some kind people, would have had no place to live. Some people opened up a home that they could live. So my dad went from a very good living to a place where he couldn't afford even a place to live. And I watched this. So what seed was planted in my heart of fear was this. If my dad was generous and giving and he lost everything, can I really trust God? And I've confessed this to my wife and I've confessed this to the board at times. Guys, I struggle when it comes to money. I think we're excellent stewards. We steward the money well. We try, but it's not that. It's being generous because love is generous. And so when fear begins to set, even though I know what God's word says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, even though I know what he talks about finance, I get it. Because of my experiences of what I saw my dad go through, those are not dolphins, those are sharks. And there are times in my life when it comes to money that I hear this, dun, 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 dun. Because even though we can say God is faithful, fear then can step into that moment and say, but are you sure this time? Yeah, he's been faithful for 30 years. What about 31 years? You see, fear is so insidious that we can walk in it and not even realize it. And we'll use words like this. Oh, I'm not fearful, I'm just worried. You know, I don't struggle with fear, I'm just a little anxious. I'm just concerned. And we use these Christian words like we're being really spiritual. I'm just worried. I'm just really concerned. I'm just really, oh, and it's not that we're being disingenuous, it's just that we can become so accustomed to living in fear that we don't even recognize that we are not walking in the freedom that love brings, but we're walking in the fear of what could happen. Because in fear, you have the what if question. What if this happens? Or what if that happens? Or what if that person? Or what if the economy? Or what if my retirement? Or what if? And we live in this what if scenario of the future that if we're not careful, that then we begin to hold on to and grasp instead of being present in the moment in love. You see, this is a huge thing when Paul says these three remain: faith, hope, and love. Hope is a confident expectation of a preferred future. But what fear does is you look in the future and you think that we're all going to be eaten by zombies. Thank you, Deb. You got it. That our whole world is going this end of the world, and it's going to be awful, and it's going to be horrible, and America's going to go to hell in a handbasket, and all those stooping Democrats and those awful Republicans and those bad this and that, and all of a sudden our world becomes just condensed into this fearful decision-making instead of recognizing, wait, no, we're not going to have our brains eaten by zombies. The Bible doesn't say that. The ending's going to be different. You will keep your brain. It's okay. But fear can become to occupy our lives that really what's going on, we see as sharks. It's just a little fish with a fin on its back. But when we're talking about faith that expresses itself in love, this is such a big deal because it's being present in every moment in love and not being controlled by, uh-oh, here we go again. So last week, as we talked about it, where Paul says love keeps no record of wrongs, and love always trusts, and love always hopes, and love always perseveres, and love never fails. How many times have we talked to people, well, I'm not going to trust again because I trusted a few times and I got hurt. Now we have a conflict. Because God's definition of love is it trusts all the time. But I'm not going to, because now we have a problem. Now we got a conflict. And instead of beating ourselves over the head saying, I got to get better, we need to allow the Lord to open our hearts to teach us what love looks like. And when we are resistant of what he calls love, could it be because of fear has occupied that place? And instead of walking in the presence of love, we're walking in the past of our hurts and our fears. So one of the things I do, I just said that, I confess to my board. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I struggle sometimes with money. I'm confessing that. Why? James 5:16 says, confess your faults to each other that you may be healed. Some of the best thing you can do is just bring confession. We're not perfect. We all struggle with stuff. We are not perfect. We got issues. But we're the family of God and we love. It's a safe place to be able to communicate our fears so that instead of seeing sharks, we go, oh, that's just a goldfish with a fin on its back. It's okay. So let me give you a couple more things to do in this moment with these thoughts. Whenever we are frightened and whenever we feel like we're unsafe, there's three things that we do automatically. One of the three. Number one is we begin to fight. That if I'm in a situation where I'm afraid, I can begin to fight. And that could be with my words, that could be with a look. I'm not very good with my fists. I wish I was about 6'8 and about 300 pounds with all muscle. I would be a better fighter at that point. But 5'8, 5'10, and kind of a doughy, you don't fight real well, okay? So, but part of the things that we do is fight, and you can say it with a look. You can say it with a body gesture. The second thing is flight, that in the midst of something where you don't feel comfortable, you just walk away. That you just, you're not there anymore. You just walk away. You don't say, hey, listen, I need to take a break. You just walk. You just get out. And the third thing is you freeze. And freeze is where you're present physically, but you're emotionally gone. And dear ones, instead of being present in love, when we feel like we're unsafe, that could be a hard conversation. That could be someone has challenged you in your belief. That could be something where you don't feel safe. These are the three mechanisms that we automatically go to. Fight, flight, or freeze. I've lived that. I've seen people do this often. But our goal is to be present. That's what love does. Love stays present even in the midst of challenges and difficulties. Even in the hard things, love stays present. So you see that in Jesus when he's at the garden tomb and he's going, God, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He's bleeding great drops of blood, sweat like great drops of blood. This is excruciating, but he stays present in love. You see that with his disciples who muck it up time and time again, and he doesn't throw them away, he doesn't kick them aside. He stays present in love, and he talks and he deals with the hard things. So what do we do to stay present? Here's the first thing. Everyone do this with me. Take a deep breath and let it out. When you're fearful, fight, flight, or freeze, here's what takes place. The oxygen that is in your brain goes to your extremities. It usually takes about 30% of your brain. You need 30% oxygen to operate correctly. When you are fight, flight, or freeze, the oxygen leaves your brain and it goes to your extremities because you're either going to fight, you're going to run, or you're emotionally shutting down. How many has ever said these words to a loved one or in a situation when in an argument you say something and then you come back and say, I can't believe I said that. What was I thinking? Has anybody ever done that? Okay. You weren't thinking. That's the reality. The oxygen to think clearly is gone. And now that's the time where you need to take a deep breath because you got to recalibrate. You got to get your mind going again. You got to stay present. Take a deep breath. Why? It helps us deal with distortions. Hey, Darren, could you put the goldfish back up again? I love that guy. I flushed a lot of his family down the toilet. But anyways, okay? Fear says you got sharks. Fear says this is going to be a hard conversation. Fear says, here we go again. Fear says, but really, that's all it is. You got to get yourself back under control by taking a deep breath. Second, you got to reinforce positive. You got to reinforce and introduce a new normal. Here's what I do. Here's my key. When I have got a thought, so let's go back there. I got finances. Are you sure God is going to be faithful? Are you sure he's going to take care of it? Are you sure? And I start feeling out of control. I verbally say these words. And this is what I do. This is what I do. I say, that is not my thought. God would never question himself about being faithful. And so I verbally, if I'm in a crowd, I say it really softly. That's not my thought. If I'm by myself, which is great early in the morning when I'm walking, it's not my thought. And nobody can say anything because they're all asleep. I'll shout it out. That's not my thought. I cannot afford to think thoughts that are not from my Father. His word is truth. His words are truth. I cannot afford to buy into thoughts that are going to make that guy into sharks. And usually it's not different things. It's usually these veins of thinking that I was raised with. Veins of where performance, things where I had to behave a certain way. I had to be a certain way. They are in these thought patterns that I've had my whole life where fear just jumps on the back of that and it rides it as long as it can. And instead of letting it ride on my thoughts, I just shout it out. It's not my thought. What my Father says is this. And I begin to say what my Father says about that situation. What am I doing? I'm reintroducing a new normal. Because, dear ones, all of us were raised in a normal. Your family was normal until you get older and go, that wasn't normal. But as a child, you don't have any kind of like, wait a sec, my father is drinking a lot and he's left my mother? That's normal. You don't have an ability to put it in context. So what is God doing? Faith expressing itself through love. He's teaching us. He's rewiring us. to that what his definition of love looks like. And dear ones, none of us were raised perfectly in that. So he has to work in us to heal our fears. But we partner with him. Take a breath if you feel like you're being threatened. If you feel, and it's different for each person. Some of you here say, man, I'm cool with money. That's great. But when it comes to clowns, I have known people who are afraid of clowns. Are you kidding me? They're a clown, right? I know of a person who will not get on a plane because what if the plane crashes? Though more people die in a car wreck than on planes. And we just go, oh, that's just so-and-so. No, that's fear. What if I get Alzheimer's? What if I get dementia? What if I get, hold on, pause, stop. That's fear. That's fear. Instead of faith, hope, and love, a preferred future, we are, what if? And then we are not living in the moment of love. What does God want to do? Take a deep breath. That's a goldfish with a fin. That sound that dun 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 is not real. What my Father says is real. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says this: For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and sound mind. So if you and I are making something, oh, here we go. It's gonna happen. Pause, take a deep breath. That's not my thought. My Father says something different. If we could do that, we would solve a lot of the problems we have with fear. Okay, here's the last. And with this, we're done. Practice uninterrupted thinking and awareness. There's a saying, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. That's a lie. When I get this age, I'm stuck in my ways. That is a lie. Read a fantastic book called This Is Your Brain on Joy. And it was written by a Christian psychologist and a Christian neuroscientist. And the Christian psychologist was recognizing that he's dealing with people, the transformation that wasn't happening as fast as he thought it would be. So he began to send them to this Christian neuroscientist. And the neuroscientist's last name is Amen. It's Dr. Amen, A-M-E-N. What a beautiful name, right? And they would wire people's brains. Okay, they would wire them up and they would do some testing. Here's what they discovered. They discovered that with 25 seconds of uninterrupted thinking, you can create a whole new neural pathway. And what they discovered was this: two areas that lit the brain up, major areas that lit their brain up was this. One was when people memorized the Bible, and secondly, when they worship and praised. Their brains literally, they put those little, you know, that little cap with all the stuff on it. And the brain would light up, that would bring pleasure and joy. Now think about it for a moment. When you and I are singing here today and we engage with the words, we're creating new neural pathways in our brain that changes the way we think. I can't tell you how many times I'm in a situation where the sharks are going dun 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 dun, and the song we sang this morning, let go my soul and trust in him, the waves and winds still know it. That song would come by. Where did that come from? I created a neural pathway in my brain so that it interrupts the thoughts that were dun, 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 dun. Wait a sec. No, it's a song. I can't tell you how many times a verse would start coming through my mind that dealt exactly with what I'm going through. And we say, well, that's the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but I had to put the verse in my brain. That was my job. That we can create new neural pathways. And Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 12. Don't be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, dear ones, not everything's the devil and not everything's, you know, spiritual. There are things here that God wants to fix and change and heal. So that when we respond to it, we don't respond in fear, but we respond in those places of confidence. Let me rephrase that. Everything's spiritual because we're body, soul, and spirit. I got that. But sometimes we go, that devil made the light turn red when I was late. No, he didn't. Here God wants to do something here. So when you come into a situation, you're staying present in love. So we're going to do something in just a moment. We're going to take 25 seconds, and then we're going to take communion. We're going to receive communion. I want you to put any phone away. I want you to put, if you're playing, put everything away, and we're going to give 25 seconds to create a whole new neural pathway. That's why be still and know that I am God is so important. That's why meditate on his word. That's why it's important for us to understand, guys, that when God says something of what we should do, he knows what he's talking about. And science catches up to it. Science discovers it like it's a brand new thing. And God says from the very beginning, if you do this, this will happen. Dear ones, everybody okay?
Yeah.
So what do I do with the finances now? Boy, those shark voices still want to talk to me. Like in The Beautiful Mind. I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Beautiful Mind, where those guys kept talking to him and they don't exist. And he finally had to say, you're not real. You're not real. This is real. What he has to say. That's why do you go into praise? Because we're creating neural pathways in our brain that instead of the same old patterns, same old tapes, we create a whole new pathway. And it doesn't matter how old you are. Your brain is able to learn. Your brain is able to grow until you die. You don't have to be I'm stuck in this. No, you're not. So I have memorized. Here, let me do this. Let me finish this. And I think, look at my watch. Oh, I'm early. Wow, good for me. Here's how I started. I dealt with those areas of my life that were personal. I just didn't start memorizing scripture. I went after those verses that dealt with the things I feared the most. And I memorized scriptures pertaining to that. I went after those things that I was bound the most. So guess what I've been talking about for the last number of years? Love. Do you know why I have been doing that? Because my whole Christian walk up to the last number of years has been about performance. That's how I was trained. That's how I was raised. No bad on anybody. It's just performance. So guess what the Lord did? Let me tell you about my love. And do you know how freeing it is to know that you're loved? Even when you don't perform well. I used to leave Sunday services and I would beat myself up if I felt like I did a crappy job of teaching. Sorry for crap, but that's what it felt like. I would go home and I would just say, Mike, you stupid, what were you thinking? You thought that was funny? Oh, that wasn't even funny. You try to be funny, but you're not even funny. You're just dumb. And my mind would, wait a second, that's not my thought. My father says, this is my son whom I love. With him, I'm well pleased. That's what he says about me. I can't be the only one here that can have an illustration about something, right? Right? Would you all just go, yeah, you're not the only crazy one, right? Would you just, right? You're not the only one who's like a duh. You're not the only one, right? And then we talk about victory in Jesus and freedom in the Lord, and yet we're worried and anxious and fearful and angry and upset and bad and those stinking that and that dumb person that blah 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 and they cut in front of me and I just blah blah, right? Victory in the hey, right? And it's just like a bunch of poo. Come on. He wants to set us free to be present in love. And when you find something trigger, when you find something in your heart that goes da-dun, and it might make that sound, but you know what it feels like. I'm not safe, not a good place. And there's nothing that would make that real except your past experience. Wait a sec, that's not my thought. Father, you need to create a new normal because this isn't what love does. Okay, let's start a new pathway. Father, I just think on his word. I meditate on his word. I sing, let go my soul and trust in him. I put away all the noise and the wind and waves. It is well with my soul. And I just allow that new neural pathway create a new way of thinking and a new way of living. I'm going to go to the piano, and we're going to stand together in just a moment. Darren, I didn't tell you, but would you put up that, it is well with my soul? Would you put that up there? Let's create a new neural pathway. Let's really engage with this. That's why we are very careful with the songs we choose, because we don't want to create a pathway that leads you in the wrong direction. We want songs that lead you to Christ. We want songs to lead you to who his nature and character is. So this is nothing else. We have nothing, no Bibles, no anything. We're going to create this place where the Lord, for the next 25 seconds, the Lord can create this pathway, because then when those sharks come up and you go, wait, no new pathway. No, that's just a goldfish. It's well with my soul. Even if I don't feel it here, I know it here. And when I know it, then I'll feel it. Everybody okay? And then Pastor Jeff is going to lead us in communion. And communion is this. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is the identification of our relationship with him. So, hey, Deb, could you join me? Could you stand with me, everybody? Would you? We're just going to sing the bridge.
So, Darren, it's just the bridge. Is so let go my soul. So let's give 25 seconds. It'll be a little bit longer than that. But let's create a new pathway so that when fear would try to, no, let go my soul and trust in him. So let go
my soul and trust in him. Waves and winds still know his name.
To come down this morning. We're going to have them available holding the bread and the juice this morning. I know I didn't prepare you. Thank you. So those of you that are ushers that helped with the offering this morning, if you'd go ahead and take a plate of the bread and the juice. Thank you, Terry. Good word, amen. Come on. Yeah, and you just spread out across the front here. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to come on down. And as Pastor Mike was leading us this morning, I just thought one of the ways that we reinforce a thought is we put movement to it. So we open our mouth and we sing the words. And I just wanted to put mute movement to the word this morning by inviting you to partake of communion by coming down and receiving it. But I'd like to put this thought in your mind as well, is that Jesus knew the state of humanity. He understood our fear. He understood our tendencies. He understood the design of our minds. And so when he took the bread and he took the wine, the juice this morning, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." You're going to need to be reminded of who you are. You're going to need to be reminded of what I've done for you and I'm doing in you and I'm doing with you. Because those narrow pathways are sometimes overrun with fear uncertainty. So let me remind you again. And he did it in such a way that he gave it to us in a form that is so humble. Some bread and some juice. And the blessing isn't necessarily in the elements, but the faith that we bring to the elements. The faith that says, as I remember, Lord, your body was broken for me to heal me and deliver me of all the effects of sin. A new pathway of thought is created. As I'm reminded of your blood represented in the juice, and I activate my faith to know that I've been made whiter than the snow, that I can speak to those thoughts and say, that is not mine, that is not me. But the blood of Jesus has washed me clean and given me a transformed mind, a renewing of my mind and the mind of Christ. So I want to invite you this morning to come on down, receive the bread and the juice, and activate that faith to have new mindsets, new encounters. So in the name of Jesus, the ushers are here before you, and I invite you to come on down and partake. Yes, thank you. And feel free to go back to your seat for just a moment or stand off to the side. Yes, Lord, we thank you that we are activating our faith, that even right now, we're seeing and perceiving new truths about your love for us. About the power in your name. Yeah, just hold it for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Thank you, ushers. Revelation of Jesus Christ on your mind and spirit. Would you join me in receiving the bread and just say thank you for your body, Lord, which was beaten and broken for my salvation, for my deliverance. Hallelujah, Lord. Let your faith be activated right now in that humble cracker. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, with the cup of juice representing your blood, we receive again the washing of our soul, the exposing of all fear, the uprooting of those things that keep us from being present and in love. So we receive your blood. And we remember, we are reminded again of your faithfulness and your goodness. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So now you can add to the repertoire of responses. Why do we gather? To create new pathways Invite somebody next week and say, hey, do you want to work on your neuroplasticity? Then follow me. Amen. Bless somebody. Have an amazing week. Be safe out there. I don't know what the weather's been doing. We'll be here tonight at 6. Thank you, Jesus.
Waves and waves, still know His name.